in a wet weekend, isn't it? Some people say brilliant. Some farmers are going, I've had enough rain, I need to get into my cane now. Sugar cane and other prep and stuff. But Ivan tells me that, because he's been here for a few years now, that this is what it used to be like. April showers. Yeah. So there you go. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your word that's true. We've been reminded today of that already. And we thank you for your spirit, the spirit of truth. Yeah, we take authority over any spirit that would seek us, that would stop us from getting a revelation this morning. And we submit and we yield to you, Holy Spirit, that you would bring revelation to us about the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when I get a chance on and off over the next few weeks or few months, I've personally felt that the Lord wanted me to share more about the kingdom of God. I think that it's one of those things that we can hear the word, the kingdom of God, and, you know, certain things come to mind. But the reality is that there's so much more about the kingdom of God. And we actually really need to pray something like, Lord, grant us a true revelation of your kingdom. Lord, grant us a full revelation of your kingdom. Because, you know, I remember speaking to someone years ago and they said to me, oh, yeah, I'm a kingdom person. And I said, oh, yeah, cool. But what they meant by that in their thinking was that they were someone who just wanted to see, someone who wanted to see people come into, be born again into the kingdom. Well, that's fantastic. But that's actually only one aspect of the kingdom of God. Being born again into the kingdom is fantastic, but we're actually called to live in the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We weren't just meant to be born again and attending a local church on a Sunday when we can make it. We're actually meant to be living as the people of God, demonstrating his love, his grace, his power, his healing, his salvation to our city and to our nation in need. Is there an amen? The kingdom of God, a true revelation of the kingdom of God, affects the way that we think. It affects the way that we see things. It affects the way that we relate with people. It's a whole new way of life. When we're born again into the kingdom, we're born again into a new life. The old is gone and the new has come. Is there an amen? Jesus came teaching about the kingdom of God. Can we just turn that microphone down a little bit, Aiden, so it doesn't boom? Can you just turn that down a little bit? Thank you. I can speak louder if I need to. Awesome. Jesus came speaking about it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. He said, now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. We see in the book of Acts in chapter 1, when Jesus appeared and he spoke with his disciples over a period of 40 days, what did he speak to them about? It's not a true question. He spoke to them about the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them, the disciples, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. There was a 40-day period between Jesus' resurrection and when he went up, there was a period of 40 days that was a kingdom masterclass. He spoke with them every day about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven. He wanted them to get a revelation, a full revelation of the kingdom, because they were to carry on the work. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, to unpack it simply, his right way. His right way of living, his right way of seeing, his way, God's way. Seek first his kingdom. And the disciples carried it on. It wasn't just Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God. The disciples spoke about the kingdom of God. We go all the way through to the end of the book of Acts as an example. Acts chapter 28, verse 30. And we read this. Paul stayed 2 whole years in his rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. For 2 whole years, Paul was in his home. The doors were open, literally, and anyone who wanted to come in to learn and to hear about the kingdom of God, they were welcomed. That's what he was speaking about. He was speaking about Jesus, and he was speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, surely if Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God and he commanded his disciples to speak about the kingdom of God, then surely today we too need to speak about the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm glad you're saying yes. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. Jesus sent his disciples out in his time. We can read in Luke 9. We can read in Luke 10. In Luke 9 was when he sent out the 12. In Luke 10 was when he sent out the 72, like he sent 70 out 2 by 2. And he sent them both out and commissioned them to speak about the kingdom of God and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Yeah. When people say, oh, that was only for the 12 disciples, I go, well, what about Luke 10 when he sent out the 72, 2 by 2? And we see it in the book of Acts, the gospel going out, being multiplied, thousands upon thousands upon thousands being added. Even in the midst of persecution, the gospel was spreading, the gospel was increasing, and they were teaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God. I believe God wants us to understand the kingdom so we can live as his kingdom people here on earth. We are occupying until he comes. We're not holding on, waiting. No, no, no. We are occupying until he comes. We are not on the defensive trying to hold on, but we are on the offensive. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We so often have, or you hear in so much end times teaching that, you know, we're on this, you know, we're just holding on until he comes. Well, you know what? Things may get darker. Things may get harder. Persecution may increase. But you know what? I find such heart by reading the book of Acts. Because in the midst of darkness, in the midst of persecution, Jesus, the presence of Christ, was manifesting. There are more salvations. There are more healings. There are more signs. There were more wonders. The church wasn't divided. The church was one because they needed each other. They broke bread in their homes. They helped people with all kinds of needs. So I say, bring it on, Lord. In the midst of the darkness, let the light of Christ shine. Sure. He wants us to understand and to live out the kingdom, to demonstrate who he is. The world is looking for a demonstration, not another definition. That's the problem. We have too many definitions of Christianity. We actually need a demonstration. Australia is looking for a demonstration of Christianity. Not another denomination with another definition. They're looking for a demonstration. I keep going back to that verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you together, it's a plural. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for his possession. That's who we are. When we're born again into the kingdom of God. We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We don't belong here anymore. We are strangers and aliens passing through. I'm not an Australian anymore. I'm not a Tasmanian. I was born in Tasmania. I live in Australia, but I am a son of the King. I am in the kingdom of God. It's not state versus state, race versus race, gender versus gender. That's all the stuff of the world. We need to be a kingdom people together. Believers can demonstrate the kingdom of God as we stand together. How many nations, that's my granddaughter if you don't know. How many nations are represented here in this room? How many? Well, we've got Australia. We've got Tasmania. Oh, no, sorry, that's part of Australia. We've got New Zealand. I know we've got New Zealand. We've got Solomon Islands. We've got Vanuatu. We've got Papua New Guinea. Who else have we got? Malta? Croatia? Irish? Scottish? Oh, South African? German? Hungary? China? Have we? Croatian, yeah. What an amazing thing. That people from different places, from people from different backgrounds, come and worship together the same King. Jesus, King of Kings, and Jesus, Lord of Lords. This is what we need to see in our nation. Not more separation, but people coming together as His kingdom people. You know, I remember growing up in the Presbyterian Church, and every Sunday we would say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, there's more. But I look back and I go, I said that, or I was told to say that every Sunday morning, and yet I had no understanding of what I was actually saying. No understanding. I'm like, I wish someone had unpacked it earlier in my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's probably quite a few of us that have said that over and over lots of times over our life. But I think God is wanting to show us more of the kingdom. Is that okay? So when Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. So it was when people were worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, how they're going to survive. And He said, no, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He was speaking that out of relationship. And that's what we have to understand firstly. Out of relationship with Jesus, we seek first the kingdom. Amen. These disciples had a relationship with Jesus. So out of a relationship with Jesus, we seek first the kingdom. One of the key things about the kingdom of God is it is relational. The Father sent His Son, His one and only Son, so that we could be born again and be adopted into the household of God as sons. It's relational. Mark Crawford, my friend, says it this way. God's answer to a crisis is always a son, not a slave. God gave Abraham a son. The Father gave His Son. And we are sons. We are the answer to the crisis in Bundaberg. We are. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good agencies doing a lot of good things trying to help. But in the end, it doesn't really help. It helps to a point, but it doesn't deal with the real issue underneath, which is sin. It doesn't deal with addiction. It doesn't deal with this stuff. There's lots of people trying to help people. which is great. But the greatest help and the only one that lasts is Jesus. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Full stop. Exclamation mark, probably be better. He came to destroy the works of the devil. The kingdom manifests where the king reigns. Do we get that? The kingdom manifests where the king reigns. Where the king is reigning, he has a kingdom. And this is why it starts right here. So my first question to you today on this journey of understanding the kingdom of God is Jesus truly on the throne of your life? Oh. We could probably stop there. And we could probably meditate on that. Because it's really easy to go, oh, yes, Lord, you're on the throne of my life. But what about when something happens to you? What about when there's injustice? What about when things occur in life? What about when circumstances happen? What about? Is Jesus on the throne of your life? My little way of saying something is that we're not called to react, we're called to respond. So when we react, we just react and we do it in the flesh and it's about me and it's about my desires and my wants and my feelings and my thoughts and we react. But when we respond, we've actually taken the time to take back and pray and be measured and hear from God and deal with something the way that he wants us to deal with it. Is Jesus on the throne of your life? Because it's a valid question, isn't it? We can say yes to the big stuff, but Lord, I want you to be in all the stuff. Because we can come and we can sing songs. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. And then we'd be reminded of that in something and we go, hang on a minute, I need to yield to your kingship. And the kingdom manifests with love, peace, joy, hope, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we get a bad report about something, we've already heard a couple of great testimonies this morning about people being healed of something. When we trust God, when Jesus is on the throne, we trust him in all things, in all circumstances. He sees us through. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one who heals. He's the one who restores. He's the one who saves. So help us to realize, or maybe realize as we start this journey, that when we're born again, because in John 3, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he says, unless you've been born again from above, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom. We need to be born again from above, born of the Spirit. Nicodemus couldn't understand it because he was looking at his flesh, like, how on earth can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again? And he goes, no, I'm not talking about that. It's Spirit. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. When we're born again from above, we're born of the Spirit. We can see the kingdom. We enter the kingdom. And Paul says it this way to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, you know, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I love that. I love Amazing Grace. I love the song. And I love the chorus that's been inserted into it. My chains have gone. Your chains are gone. You've been set free. Woo! Set free. Walk in the freedom. You are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. He says to the church in Rome, in Romans 12, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to go through a process of unlearning some things and learning some other things. We have to unlearn some stuff that the world has told us. We have to unlearn some stuff that our school teachers have told us. Sometimes. We have to unlearn stuff that maybe people in authority, parents or other figures in our life have told us. We definitely have to unlearn what the TV tells us, what the media tells us, what advertising tells us. We really have to unlearn that stuff. And we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul said, we pull down every stronghold. We take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. This is where we need to have this. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. His word is the final word. Man may have opinions, but there's only one that really matters, and it's God's. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get into the word. If you're not, do the chapter a day with us. Read through the book of Acts. Get into the word. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, to see an outworking of the Spirit in you. When we think about the kingdom of God, and I've said this before about other things, it's not an add to. The problem that we have with the gospel in our nation is that people have often thought that I'm adding Jesus to my life to make it better. That's not the gospel. Jesus actually becomes your life. You don't just add Jesus to your life. Jesus actually becomes your life. Yes? We die to self. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus. I've been born again. The old is gone. The new has come. The same is true with the kingdom. It's like we try and fit it in to our life. No, but it's a new way of life. I am convinced more than ever. I was in prayer during the week and I heard this phrase that the rhythm of the kingdom is so different to the rhythm of this world. The flow and the rhythm of the kingdom is so different to the flow and rhythm of this world. What would happen if we step out of the mainstream world of busyness and God, help me to see your kingdom? It's a whole new way of life. We could look at the Sermon on the Mount if you want to stay here for an extra few hours. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we could go through chapter 5 and chapter 6, chapter 7. You know, you have heard it said this, but I say to you this. You have heard it said this, but I say to you this. It's a new way of life. It's not just trying to do the right thing. The new covenant is that God has given us a new heart and he's put his spirit in us, and it's his spirit that moves us. He changes us from the inside out. We're not just trying to obey a bunch of rules and laws and trying to become better people. God has made us better people by giving his son for us and sending his spirit to dwell within us. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God has done for us, and we just need to yield. We just need to allow the Spirit of God to have his way in us and through us. I've shared once before, but there's different people here, you know, that there was a period in my life where I just was so frustrated. Has anyone ever been frustrated? Oh, good, I'm talking to a few of us then. I was just so frustrated, and I got frustrated about being frustrated. Anyone ever been there? You get frustrated about being frustrated. And I was like, oh. Until the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, son, what are you doing? I actually didn't really know what to say. I kind of had some things. I'm trying my best, God. And he said, son, why are you trying? Why don't you just trust? Oh, why don't you just walk by faith rather than in your flesh? Why don't you just learn to receive? Hands up who are good receivers. Man, we got to work on that one then, don't we? Yeah. Someone comes up to you and gives you a compliment? Nah. It's, someone wants to give you something like a bag of groceries? No, it's all right. We need to learn to receive. Let's trust. Let's trust God. Let's walk by faith and not by sight. Let's allow the Spirit of God to have his way in us. As Danielle spoke about last Sunday, wasn't that so good? We don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Yes, the kingdom of God is about authority. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about all kinds of things about the kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever is allowed in heaven is allowed on earth, and whatever is not allowed in heaven is not allowed on earth. It is absolutely about authority. It's about all kinds of things. But where does it start? In us. King Jesus. King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior. Sure. King Jesus. I find the best prayers are the simple prayers. When you start praying, God, I just want to know you more, guess what happens? He starts to move in your life that you would start to know him more. When you pray, Lord, I repent of where I've been on the throne of my life, where I've been in charge, I repent of that. Jesus, I want you to be king in every facet, in every way, and I yield to you. You just see what the Spirit of God does. God moves in response to our heartfelt cry, to our heartfelt prayer. He did that with Israel. He said, I have heard their cry. It wasn't about the words. It was the cry of the heart. I have heard their cry, and I have come to rescue them. He hears the cry of your heart. So just release it. Just release the cry. I've learned over the years the best place to be is a place of yielding, surrendering, and submitting. The flesh doesn't like it at all. To yield, to surrender, to submit. But it is the safest place. It is the best place, a place where you yield to God, where you surrender to him, where you submit to him. It is the best place to be. You are under the shelter of his wing when you are in that place of yielding to God. The kingdom of God is an outworking of the new covenant. We looked at normal Christianity over a few weeks. We looked at Acts 2 and we looked at other things. What the early church did was them outworking life in the kingdom of God. Amen? They praised God. That's an outworking, and that's part of life in the kingdom, praising God. The Australian church has to get better at praising God. We can praise our sports teams. We can shout all day long at a footy match, but we've got to get better at praising God. I remember before we had a place to meet, we used to meet in people's homes on a Friday night for Friday night prayer. It was hard sometimes to fit in people's lounge rooms. But it was great Friday nights. I remember that they used to get a bit rowdy because we were praising God. And there was one person who had an interesting neighbor, and they kind of said, sorry, we were a little bit loud last night. And the wife was with the husband and she elbowed him and she said, no, I didn't mind it at all. In fact, I said to my husband, see, you don't need alcohol to have a good time. I remember that so clearly. Come on. Praise God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise Him. Get rid of the fear and the timidity and the worry of what the person behind you is going to think about you. Just start praising God. I think we can praise Him. Anyway. And we're praising God. There was miracles. There was healings. There was signs and wonders. It's just an outworking of the kingdom of God. They didn't count their possessions as their own, but they began to share with one another and practice hospitality with one another. They opened their homes and they broke bread together. That is a miracle in itself. That a group of human beings didn't hold on to things so tight, but they opened their homes and said, come around for a meal. Whoever wants to come, come around. Anyone want to open their home? Some people already open their homes, I understand that. Some people don't have a home, I understand that too. But it was an outworking of the kingdom. I remember, and I'm sorry for those that have heard this, and I'm about to finish. I have no idea what the time is because I don't have a watch anymore. Praise God. You know, that's the best thing I ever did, was not replace my watch. When I need to know the time, if I'm going to a meeting to see someone, I'll check on my phone. But outside of that, I have no idea what the time is. It's actually really freeing. Oh, okay. Right, I'm going to wrap it up. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I remember with fondness the first church that we ever pastored 25 years ago. This little country traditional Baptist church. And I experienced something there that I've struggled to experience since. We literally would have our Sunday morning gathering, and then we'd look around and someone would say, yep, my house is open for lunch. If anyone wants to come, go to the shop, bring something, we'll go and have lunch together. And so we'd all go and we'd get chicken or chips or salads or bread rolls or whatever we used to get. And we used to go and we used to just hang out. The kids would play. People would chat. People would pray. People would fellowship. People would share. And it became like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. We went, hang on a minute. We've got an evening gathering as well. We need to get back. So we went back to the chapel. And we had an evening gathering together, and then someone else go, yeah, my house is open for supper. Come on, let's go. We literally spent the whole day together from 9 o'clock in the morning to literally 9 o'clock at night. We prayed, we fellowshipped, we worshipped, we did all kinds of things. That's what the early church did. And it's simply an outworking of the kingdom of God, because where the king reigns, it's like, you know what? I don't need that. Righto. I'm not going to be there for this for lunch today, actually. So, but you can. They were demonstrating and manifesting the kingdom of God, and they were one. And the reason that they were one was because Jesus was on the throne. The thing that separates us from one another is us. It's true. When Jesus is on the throne, you can love people that you don't even like that much. It's true. There are some people in life that you're like, oh, man. But you know what? When Jesus is on the throne, you can love them. And that's what Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And by this love, people will know that you are my disciples. So where's the music team? At your place, Peter. I know where Peter lives too. I can show. Okay, no, just kidding.